We looked at spiritual maturity and growing in Christ last week. We let the Bible tell us that spiritual maturity, what it is, and why each of us should earnestly seek to grow in Jesus Christ. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I understood as a child, I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. Peter tells us also, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now and forever. And that's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. As we read this morning, we begin reading in verse 8. For these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly unto everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's again pray. Dear Lord, direct our minds and hearts now to your word, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. The Hebrew writer of Hebrews also writes pertaining to this subject. He says, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for a time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, that are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. If we go back to 2 Peter, he said that we are to make our calling and our election sure. He said that he that lacketh these things is blind. In other words, he cannot, and he irradiates on that, and he says, cannot see afar off. And notice the next statement, he says, have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So this is addressing, for without any question, on all Christians. And I think all of us understand that we are all subject to lapse into apathy. You know, something that becomes mundane to us, something that we become too familiar with sometimes, it lacks its appeal to us. Many times we find ourselves not really putting the interest in it we had in the past. We think about these things, and yet we know we should do these things, and we, even within our hearts, we desire it. And yet we come to the point that we're not applying these things. It's not as important to us as it once was. So 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 says, it says, give the results, that gives us the results of maturity. He says that these things in verses 5 through 7 are in a person and they abound, meaning they're a part of us. A believer must be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that just simply means we cannot do anything to please God apart from His Word. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Word. And that's in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from His Word. So the knowledge He is speaking of here is a full knowledge of God that produces action within our lives. Now, let's be honest. Are there things that you've studied in your life that you now don't think a lot of? In other words, that don't come to mind very often. How many of you been to school? Everybody has. Do you remember everything you learned in school?
No.
Well, you probably remember it if the occasion comes up, but many times we find the things that we learned in school and we're not really applying them like we should. They're not as important to us as they once were. And sometimes we just let them slide. We don't even think about them anymore. Now, we as Christians are in the same boat as that. All of us have the same human nature. We have the same tendencies toward these things. And so we need to realize that this is a problem, and that we need to overcome these things. So understanding, it is not just referring solely to head knowledge or the fact of Christ or the fact that Christ wants us to live for Him, but it is an intimate, personal knowledge and relationship to Christ. It is to understand Christ's mind and His desires for our life. Now you think about it. If you have a friend, in fact, how many of you remember Mark Worth? How many, you remember Mark Worth, him and Jennifer? They came years ago. They're in Oklahoma now. He was in the service. You remember he was up stationed at Hill Air Force Base. Well, he's finally retired about 6 months ago. I got a letter from him yesterday, and I had written him, and he wrote me back, and he's invited us to Oklahoma to go see him, and I would love to see him. I think the world of both of them. But you know what? Every time we write each other, and his children, Angel, she's in college now. She's going to Oklahoma University, and she's written me a number of times and asked me advice about what school to go to and these kind of things. And so we've had kind of a loose relationship over these years. And she's a sweet girl, and the other girl, Katie, is the other one. And right now they're both grown. And when we saw them, they were little bitty guys. I remember going to Katie's birthday party, and she was not much bigger than Taylor. But now she's a grown lady. But you know what? We even though we still keep in touch with one another, we always write and say we miss you, because we do. We don't have that close relationship we once had. Why? Because of distance and so forth. So do I think about them every day? And no, I don't. But there is occasions when they come to mind. And you know what? The same thing can happen to a Christian. Now, we need to think about that. We can become so involved with the rest of our lives and what's going on in our lives that we fail to realize that we are in Christ, that Christ has a purpose for our lives, a will for us to do. He has things he has for us to, and that nobody can do them but us. And we kind of miss the excitement of it. I was excited about being able to teach Ezekiel chapter 37 this morning, and we're going to go to chapter 38, and I'm going to be honest with you. To me, these are exciting chapters in the Old Testament because it's talking about the things that are going to be coming shortly to pass. You say, well, shortly to pass? Yes, because the tribulation is, I believe, very short. It's going to be very soon. The rapture is going to occur, and we're going to be gone. We're going to be off the earth. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus. And the tribulation is going to happen. And it is just an encouragement to me, and it thrills me to know that God's plan is his own schedule is exactly where He wants it to be. And I see the things around happening, even as I read to you this morning, these newspaper articles and so forth, and the things that are happening, they're all lining up for the end times. And that's exciting. And so, can a believer fall by the wayside and be unfruitful? Yeah, they really can. In fact, He says you can. He says, but he that lacketh things is blind, cannot see afar off, that God, that he was purged from his old sins. So it's very plain here that you and I are subject to these things. Now, let's go further. I'm not here to scold you this morning, and God's not here to scold you. And that's not what his word is to do. I think the worst thing anybody can do to another person is to scold them. You know, God's not scolding us. He's telling us what our situation is, the reality of it. Because He wants the best for us. And the best thing for us to be doing is living for Christ. Living godly lives. Honoring Him in our relationships, in our families, and in the work. And wherever we are, He wants us to be honoring Him. And being a testimony. He wants us to be fruitful. This means within our own families. You know, one of the most fruitful places a person can be is within their own families to influence it. I asked little Dominic this morning. I was talking to him about baptism, and he wants to be baptized. He's going to come forward at the end of the service and present himself for baptism. And I was asking him about, and talking to him. And one of the things I try to emphasize is God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us not only to be saved and become a child of God, but he wants us to live it and influence other people to be a testimony. And by the way, when you walk this aisle and a testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ, you know what that is? That's being fruitful. That's sharing it with other people. That's upholding the Lord. And so in chapter 2 Peter 1:10, he says that we should not remain unfruitful, but he wants us to make our election and calling sure. Now, the word election here means that those believers who have been elected to eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're elected. What are you elected to? To live a Christian life. And a lot of people say, well, you're elected to salvation. No, you're not elected to salvation. You're elected to what salvation occurs, and when it occurs, it brings in your life. That includes becoming a child of God. That includes going to heaven, having your sins forgiven, having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that are involved in coming to Christ and being saved. And so this is what God elected, the plan of salvation, what it would be, and what it would accomplish within the lives of those who believed and put their faith in him. So he says, if these things have happened, and he very clearly said, if you do these things, you shall not fall. So if you're applying these things to your life, you're not going to fall. Do you understand the importance of, you remember last week what we talked about? Not last week, week before last. Do you remember what we talked about? We talked about reward. And I don't think I can emphasize it enough. Everybody in this room one day is going to stand before the Lord. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And what we've done in our lives is going to be plain, revealed there. And what the Bible says is this refining fire. And all our works, good and bad, are going to be put in it. And our bad works are going to be burnt up. Our good works will be preserved. And we'll be rewarded for it. And then verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 3 says this. There will be some who will suffer loss. That means they'll be there with no reward. And I think it would be a tragic thing for a person to be saved, to be a child of God, to stand before Jesus Christ himself, the one who died and did so much for you, and you have nothing to offer him. That's going to occur for many, many people. I don't think I want to be one of those. Do you? I want to honor the Lord. So we have here in chapter 1 in verse 11, he says, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in heaven, we're going to receive this judgment. Nobody there is going to be condemned. Everybody there is going to be in heaven. But everybody there is not going to receive reward. Everybody there has not by their lives honored the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just share this with you. I've been a pastor now 30-some years. It is a pastor's heart, and I believe I have one, that he wants to establish believers in the faith. And that's what verses 12 through 16 tell us. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I honestly believe that most of what I preach from this pulpit and have preached over these many years, you already know it. Number one, you've heard it many times. Number two, I preach it over and over. And so, number two, you know it already. But he says, don't neglect to bring these things up to our remembrance. To put us in remembrance of these things. That's what a pastor does. That's what the teacher does. He says in verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, you've heard this phrase. How many ever heard the phrase, well, the pastor got there and stepped all over my feet this morning, stepped on my toes, you know, everybody hears that. Well, By the way, that don't come from the pulpit. That comes from the pew. That statement comes from the pew. It's by people who are hearing the Word of God in there. And God is bringing conviction. Do you know that's a good thing? If when you hear these things and you're convicted by it, that's the Holy Spirit of God working in your life. That's Him responding to you personally in your heart from the Word of God that you are hearing. And He says, and Paul says, Peter, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, he said, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And then saying this, he said, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. You know what he's saying? He said, listen, I know very soon I'm going to die. In other words, this body, which is referred to as a tabernacle, a tabernacle, by the way, is a covering. This covering that we have is one day going to be dissolved. As I went to the funeral home, I'll be honest with you, and you know, give me a little leeway here. When I looked at my mother laying in that casket last week, it didn't really do anything for me. That was not my mother. That was her body. That was the old tabernacle she used to live in. And they had it dressed up, you know, and they had her hair the wrong color. Her mouth wasn't fixed right. Okay, I'm being real plain and honest with you. When I stood up by the casket and I looked at her, you know, this is not my mother. My mother's in heaven with the Lord. This is not the lady who took care of me all those many years, who loved me, prayed for me, cared for me. This is just the shell, the old tabernacle she's left behind. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have much affection for the tabernacle, but I have an affection for the love that I have for my mother who was in heaven. Now, and why do I feel this way? Because I know what the Bible teaches, and I know where my mother is. And I know every one of you in this room, one day, if the Lord tarries, you're going to put off this old tabernacle. And I've seen many tabernacles put off. I've preached many funerals. Many funerals. And I know that we're going to put it off. That it's coming. And you know, that ought to also help us to understand how important it is that we live the life that we have right now for the Lord, knowing that one day we will put it off. And that's what Peter's saying here. He said, I know that shortly I'm going to put off this tabernacle. You know what he's saying? I'm going to work as hard as I can to try to reach people for Jesus Christ. He said, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He said, after I'm gone, I want you to remember these things. I want them to be a part of your life as you live for the Lord. He says, for we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when He came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What was He talking about? At Christ's baptism, and also on the mount, where they call it the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter saw this with his own eyes and heard it with his own ears. He said, and this voice came from heaven saying, when we were with Him, we were in the Holy Mount, meaning with Christ. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now listen, grasp this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do dwell. I mean, you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old times by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what he just said? what God inspired Peter to write to us? Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the glory of God come down. He heard God the Father speak, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He saw these things. But he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy than even this great thing that he saw and that he experienced. And what is it? This Bible. This is the very word of God. You can carry this with you everywhere you go. Carry it everywhere you go. You can hide its words in your heart. What's the scripture says? Maybe some of you children, you learned this in Sunday school about hiding the Word of God in your heart. That's what the Bible tells us that we're to do. We're to live by the Word of God. We're to hide it in our hearts. And by hiding it in our hearts and having it there, then we can apply it to our lives. You know, that it'll always be before us. And many times, and as I said earlier, we wane in our understanding of these things. We allow, and by the way, we allow blindness to occur. How do you let blindness come in? How do you become dull and blind to God's Word and God's seeking you and the importance of living as He wants you to live for Him? How do you get that dullness? You get taken with this old world that we live in. You understand that? There's 1,000 things out there that'll distract you. And every one of us are subject to them. Oh man, the world has so many glittering things out there. So many things that are fun. Fun. Things that are enjoyable. And yet, they're vain. They're worthless. They're there for a moment and then they're gone. We can get caught up with just living our lives in this world. We can get caught up with material things like houses and food and cars, and we can get caught up with children, with our children. And I've seen people who just worship their children. There's nothing wrong with loving your children. But your job is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that should be your direction. And many times people who worship their children, the source of that is pride. Pride in their children. Look at my children. Look at me. We can do it in sports. We can do it in all kinds of activities. All kinds of things that can come in our lives and can grasp us and take us away from that most wonderful thing, and that is living our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we lose reward because of it, don't we? We lose that reward. And we lose the reward because we're not being fruitful. Because we're not being used of the Lord. We don't have the influence in people's lives that we ought to have. How many of you people know a person who is a genuine Christian? Nobody needs to raise your hand or even say, but do you know a genuine Christian? I knew one. She's now with the Lord. That was my mother. She was as genuine a child of God as they ever walked on this earth. And I was made that statement that she, of all the people I've ever known on my life, my mother, she personified everything that is a Christian. I can't, you know, maybe I've forgotten something, but I don't think so. I can't remember my mother in any other of doing anything but honoring the Lord in everything she did, as a wife, as a mother, as in her church. As I walked into church, I was walking down the aisle, and this was before the service, and this young lady, she looked like she was probably 35, 40 years old. Not maybe 40, maybe 35. She said, "Cooper," and because I didn't know her, and she said, "You don't know me, do you?" And I said, "No." I said, and there were so many people there I did not know, and so many people I forgot that came up to me and said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, Your face looks familiar. I just can't. And they would tell me, like, oh, yeah. I'm so relieved. But you know what she told me? She said, I loved your mother. I said, you did? She said, you know, when I grew up in this church, she said, your mother taught me in Sunday school and in the GAs, which was the girls' auxiliary, the little girls' club that they had there in the church. She said, she taught me all those many years. You know what she was doing? She was now teaching girls in her. She was, I had followed in my mother's footsteps. You know, that made me feel so good. It honored the Lord. It honored my mother. You know, you can't put value on that. You can't put money on that. That is one of the most valuable things I ever heard. It meant more to me than all the silver and gold in the world. To know that my mother was honored by this lady. And she thought so much of her. And there's many others too. They used to come to the rest home when my mother was there. And they would bring the little girls in. And they would stand around mother's bed there. And she'd be just a smiling, because I wasn't there, but I know what was going on. She's smiling from ear to ear. And looking at each one of them. And they would sing to her. And they would say Bible verses and so forth to her. And afterwards, on the telephone, I would talk to my mother, and she says, oh, so-and-so, the teacher brought by the girls today, and they were so, and she said this over and over again, she said, they were so precious. They were so precious. My mother loved them, and she served them. And she's had an influence in the lives of untold numbers of girls in that little Pine Tops Baptist Church in Pine Tops, North Carolina. You know, I know that was a great satisfaction to my mother. It's certainly a great satisfaction to me. And at her at the funeral, when her pastor preached her funeral, he mentioned these things and many, many other things that my mother had done. You know what? I'm sure the Lord was smiling. When my mother entered the portals of heaven, I know what my Savior said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, you want to throw that away? You want to throw that away on worthless things that this old world has? I'm not saying that the things we do are wrong, but sometimes we put too much emphasis on them. You know, you folks know where I live. You know, houses don't mean anything to me. I was talking with a fellow, and he says, just Friday, or was it Saturday? Friday. And I told him I was going to meet him, and I hadn't seen him before. I said, I'm driving an 87 Toyota. And he said, an 87 Toyota? Like, you know, nobody drives an 87 Toyota. But you look at mine, it's parked out here, and it's got painted, and it looks good. It runs like a top. Andy's helped me with that. I don't care what, you know, I don't care if it's about those kind of things anymore. These things in the world don't mean anything to me. The older I get, what is the point in it? You know, I've had houses. I had one of the most beautiful houses you ever saw on a lake in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, on the Tar River Reservoir. Beautiful house. Had a beautiful pier. Had a boat parked side of it. And we lived up in a little slough, which was a little gut there. And I could walk out there in the afternoons, and I could listen to the bass breaking the water, you know, and the brim popping. It was beautiful. Loved it. You know, I told people, I said, I'm going to be buried right here. Don't ever, you know, I've got everything I ever wanted. And then a wonderful, marvelous thing happened to me. I got saved. And guess what? When God called me to go to be a pastor and a preacher, and I finally surrendered to that, we sold that house. Just about everything we have. In fact, we've done it how many times, Carol? We've done it numerous times. Because material things are not important anymore. I know. And I hope in my small, stammering way this morning, maybe I have conveyed that to you also. Don't waste your life on temporal things that'll go, that are not going to last. That does not mean you have to walk around with a grim look on your face and you have to live like a hermit or anything like that. No, you can live a wonderful, joyous life and enjoy it. But make sure that Christ is first, that He has the preeminence in your life. And I'll tell you what, these other things you can enjoy so much. Because I know, you know, the things that I have, I know where they came from. God gave them to me. You know, I know that I've got two pick-em-up trucks. I got a big old Dodge diesel, and I got that 87 Toyota. And by the way, the guy told me, oh, that's a new truck. I said, no, it's not. It's an 04. But it runs like a child. It's beautiful. I think, well, I like my truck. I'm a Dodge man. You know that. But let me just tell you a little secret. If I needed to sell that thing, it'd be gone in a minute. It didn't have any great affection for it in that sense. It fit, it does a job. Where we live, it provides a place to live. A lot of people wouldn't live like we live. But I hope you understand why. I'm doing something here that Peter did. He says, therefore I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. What is the present truth? If you're a child of God, He wants you living for Him. He wants you growing in Christ. And I tell you what, as you grow in Christ, I can tell you where the thermometer will be. The things that you think so much of today, these worldly things, will mean less and less and less and less to you. Because you realize life is just a short span. Very soon we'll be with the Lord. And all these things will be gone. All the things that my mother loved so much, and she made little dolls, and she had, I don't know how many dozens and dozens of dolls she made. And all these things. And she thought, oh, she loved them. But you know what? She went to the restroom. You know what she did with these dolls that she loved so much? She gave them to people all up and down those aisles. She gave them away. I hope you too understand what I'm trying to share with you this morning. I try to make this as practical and as down to earth as I possibly can. Because I want you to live the life that Christ would have you to live. I want you to have, when you stand before the Lord Jesus, I want to, as you look into that refining fire, I want you to look in there and see gold and silver and precious stones. And I want you to look up in the face of our Lord and Savior and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And at the same time, I want you to remember, I thank God for Pastor Abrams who challenged me to do this, to live for God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for our time together this morning. Have Your will in each of our lives. You know our needs. You know where each of us are spiritually. And in our growth and maturity in You. Help us, dear Lord, to see what a wonderful thing it is to apply our lives to growing in Christ and living closer to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Andy, lead us in a hymn of invitation. 230.